welcome to the third episode of the brand new Youtini Show, formerly known as the Living Force Podcast. If you want to get the full experience, head over to the Youtini YouTube channel, where you can see our brand new setup as we discuss everything about the worldwide domination of Taylor Swift. As a quick reminder, if you're listening to this on the Living Force Podcast feed, only the first 10 episodes will be published here, so make sure you go subscribe to the Youtini Show feed on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get the show. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad we continue to be back. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the third episode of the Youtini Show. I'm Eric here with Corey, Charles, and Wes. And tonight we are going to talk about something that we have probably never really talked about on our previous shows, and something that we're actually very excited about because we're not super experts about it. And it is, fellas, the emergence of, I would say, a worldwide power, of a new shift in the social structure, of a world-defying, may I say, era-defining event. It's Taylor Swift and her worldwide domination.
T-Swift.
T-Swizzle.
I was thinking T-Swizzle.
Were you?
I thought we were talking about Creed tonight, so I'm already behind.
Oh, man, I saw Wes's face drop as he realized it wasn't Creed night. Oh, I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. I missed out on the cruise. Might as well miss on this, too.
Oh, that's it. But actually, I wanted to take a second already, before we get into Taylor Swift, I want to thank all of you, because we have not gotten a chance to get together since our first episode went out. And the response has really been incredible. I don't know if you guys have been on, like, seeing YouTube comments and Discord comments. Yep. And, like, we were pretty worried when that came out.
Yeah, it was new. We only got one comment about our socks before the show. Let us know how you feel about the socks.
I try to wear new ones for you guys.
We're in my house right now. And everyone asked me, do you wear shoes in your house? And I said, hell no. What kind of weird person wears shoes in their house?
Well, there goes half our audience of shoe wearers.
I'm sorry to everyone we just alienated. You can do whatever you want in your house, okay?
But in this home,
you're supposed to create the audience you want. I don't want shoe wearers.
You want shoe bees?
No shoe bees.
No shoe bees.
Shoe bees.
Wait.
Wait. Yes.
Let us know what you think about the socks.
Yeah, leave in the comments. Are you team socks, team no socks?
When we start our OnlyFans, we take our socks off.
To be clear, it's socks or shoes. Team socks or team shoes.
That's true.
No team socks and team no socks. I'm not going barefoot.
You know, that's a good point.
What if we put shoes on and then we all wear shoe covers?
Oh, my.
Y'all are so...
Before we commit a murder?
In the doctor scene.
Let's put some plastic on the couch, too, so every time I shift, it goes...
That's right.
I hate that.
Wes, you also have to wear shoe covers. You have to show us and prove it during the show. It'll be a requirement. It's just for my OCD.
Yeah, I believe Bethany can get me shoe covers. I know a person, so
I know you got a shoe cover guy.
You medical professionals walk around in your little booties inside the wherever you do it at. Like you do an OR, or you don't do it like on regular clinical meetings.
But we did during the pandemic, though. I did wear shoe covers in the pandemic. Yeah. Did you wear shoe covers?
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone did. I did for a little while, but then I got tired of that.
Do you miss them a little bit?
No.
Is that what I'm hearing?
No, they're awful. They're so hard to get on and off. Dude, they suck. Shoe covers are bad. They're slippery too.
All right, so no shoe covers, but yes, socks or shoes is what's available. I will tell you all, if you decide shoes, I do try to wear different socks every week, and then I will stop doing that, and I'll stop being as fun. So just take that into account.
Just be more generic white guys wearing shoes.
Yeah, that's right.
You change your socks once a week? That's disgusting.
That is gross, dude.
That's my personal thing, and if you join our Patreon, right behind the scenes, maybe I'll tell you about it. But,
for real, though, appreciate the kind words from everybody.
Really cool.
It does feel good to be back. It was a little rocky, I think, the first episode.
Yeah.
We were a little awkward for like the first 30 seconds.
You were off, dude. I don't know what's going on.
Dude, I was off. I don't know what happened, but something...
I wanted you gone.
I know, man.
Actually.
I know. That's pretty hurtful, actually.
I guess we were telling lies in the third episode. but no, it was super fun, and again, so many of y'all that knew us from before, and some of y'all that are finding us for the first time, it's really fun that you accepted this kind of new direction. And I don't want to out a specific fan of ours, but we got a wonderful email about a long time listener that kind of encapsulated everything that we're doing, and I kind of cried a little bit when you told us about it.
It was a very emotional email that I got. If you sent us that email, you know who you are. We appreciate you. Yeah. I think it feels good to be back. It feels good to know that we're talking about other fandoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this will be a fun episode to kind of talk about a fandom that we're much less familiar with, right? You know, we've been doing Star Wars for years, and we've talked about wanting to expand. We're growing. We're changing. you know, we're still going to talk about Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
If you're listening to this in the old A Living Force feed, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, we have podcast feeds too. There's an audio version of this show, in case you didn't know.
Yep.
But we're going to put the several episodes of this show in the Living Force feed for a little while,
yeah,
right? It's a first transition. 10, first 10 or so. But if you're not already subscribed to the Utenia Show feed, then go do that.
Absolutely.
And if you only listen to audio, also let us know what your opinion on the socks are. Might hold a little less water for us, but you right. count.
But you'll know. You'll like listen knowing that you're listening to Sock Boys.
Right. Don't like that.
Don't like that. Nope. I tried to stop it as I was saying it.
Sock Boys.
It's not live anymore. We have the power to edit that out.
But this week, the Sock Boys are talking about Taylor Swift. And because, for those of you that may not know, this Friday, as of the release of this show, marks the release of the Tortured Poets Department. Yes, I got that. I keep saying Dead Poets Society, but it's the Tortured Poets Department, which is
my captain.
It's so, well, that's kind of who she is. Like, Taylor Swift has become this figure almost that has transcended normal pop culture stardom, at least in our lifetime.
Yes.
And I guess I want to start off just by asking you guys, before we get into Taylor herself, like, what in our lives has kind of come close to what Taylor's done in the last year? Because with the Eras Tour, getting into the NFL, like
Barry Bonds versus Mark McGwire home run derby.
That
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think.
They didn't. Did they play?
That's close.
Wait, tell me that. They didn't play at the same time. No, it was Mark McGwire.
Yes, absolutely.
Sammy Sosa.
Yes. They, as I said, all three Sammy of them played at the same time. All three of them played at the same time.
Or was Barry juicing when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were playing? I know he juiced afterwards.
Yes.
During our lifetime.
Remember when the Sharks came out on stage when Katy Perry played the Super Bowl?
Left Shark?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes. That was a good moment.
That's the biggest thing I can think of.
Okay, that was a pretty good pop culture moment, I think.
That was
the Creed halftime show in Dallas? Not bigger than that?
Yes.
Wow. We are
actually yes.
We are 7 minutes in. We've had three Creed references so far.
And a lot of Creed.
Notice, because these are all sports related. So interestingly enough, can you think of something that is not a sport that holds a candle?
Oh, yeah, because I think the default act, like outside of our lifetime, is like Michael Jackson. It is higher than the Beatles. Is like the one that you go to for like worldwide acclaim. Like, because this is international. It's not just national. Now, like the Eras Tour is in Japan, Australia. Like,
it's insane.
She sells out everywhere. Like Beyonce just had an album released with Cowboy Carter. They went pretty big, like in New Zealand and Australia and stuff like that. But she also had Destiny's Child, so it kind of is also, and she's done some acting, so it kind of branches and makes more of an empire.
It's certainly a lot larger than I thought. Now we have, so you know, to give you a little sneak behind the scenes, we have this company that we're running out of the apartment. We're producing content for Utini, and we're also producing content for my wife's YouTube channel, Katie Didn't. And we coordinated Taylor Swift videos this week when we recorded.
Yeah, we did.
And so Taylor Swift has been on the mind.
Yes. Right?
And you're probably the closest to a Swiftie. Would you identify as a Swiftie?
I would identify as a Swiftie. I would say that I am personally like, the only reason I would stop myself from doing it is because I respect what they know so much.
Yeah.
But I think that inherently is actually against the Swiftie mythos. The more I learned about them is that the good news about the Swiftie fans is that they do accept literally anyone at any level. So it's like I would be disservicing them if I said I wasn't one.
That's fair.
But yeah, I listened to her in high school, college. I went and saw the Eras Tour in theaters. I didn't see it live because I had to like pay my mortgage and you know, do stuff like that. Yes. But like I thoroughly enjoy her rise. And this year though, whole other level of understanding what she is as a entity.
I would say that I'm probably at this point, I would call myself maybe Swifty adjacent.
Ooh. You're a brisky. You're not Swift, but you're
brisk.
Brisk. You're brisk.
It took me a second to get that. Oh, that was pretty good, actually.
Thank you.
Brisk. We started off on a 10 out of 10. That was like a 7, though, but you can make your way back up. I believe in you.
There's time. There's time.
So Swifty curious.
We created these two videos, one for Utini and one for Katie Didn't. And I learned a ton about Taylor Swift in the past 2 weeks. And honestly blown away. To answer your question, is anything like this happened before? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sheer numbers are just frankly unbelievable. I mean, she made like what, $200 something million from the movie theater.
Yeah, $260 million was the worldwide box office for like a weekend or two.
That's a filmed concert.
Yeah, which made a billion
money.
The concert made a billion.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, so I don't think anything comes even close to it. It's much larger than I anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
It's also got a lot more depth than I anticipated, yeah, which I really want to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
So I think you're probably the most Swiftie. I'm probably like close, you know, probably a distant, actually, second. And then what about you guys? Where do you stand? Wes?
I know.
How familiar are you with the Taylor Swift?
I know very little. I know that she was a teen sensation when she came out with, I think she had two country albums. They were kind of like pop country, but they were country enough.
Yep.
And then she transformed into this overall superpower that she is now. Yep. But I don't know a lot of her songs by name, but I guarantee you if I've heard them, if I hear them, I'll be like, that's Taylor Swift. That's Taylor
Swift. There's a fair amount of music now, too, that like if I told you it was Taylor Swift, you'd be like, oh, wow, is that really Taylor Swift? There's probably a lot of music like that, actually.
Because the eras all sound so different now at this point. It's like, the indie song, the pop ballad, the country song. Like, oh, like Tim McGraw? Yeah, I love that song. Oh, like Me with the Panic at the Disco singer, Brandon Urie? Like, that's also her? Like,
no, it's impressive.
It's vast.
And Charles, what about you? Where do you stand on Swiftie fandom?
I think probably similar, most similar to Wes, but I do have exposure mostly from Nicole. She likes Taylor Swift. She's going to the Eras Tour in October. So I hear enough of her music from there. Yes. Or I could probably sing along with some songs, but yeah, I would do well with like music.
That's going to work. No, I knew you did. That was great. I'm sorry, I was aghast. Our audio listeners, you missed my mouth just kind of a gate. That was wonderful.
The thing about Taylor Swift fandom too is if you're listening to this and you're like, why are these four white guys talking about Taylor Swift? Like, even if you're not like a huge fan or even a medium fan or even a complete zero fan, everybody I feel like knows somebody who is like a diehard fan.
Yeah.
That's what's weird and interesting about
You know a Swiftie.
Yeah. Who's the guy that's like you're always Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
7 degrees Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, 7 degrees. Taylor Swift has become that. True.
Yeah.
Like I don't think everybody. Do you know somebody who's been to a concert? I know several.
Already?
Yep, I know several. Ben.
Yes. Wes, do you know somebody who's been to?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody knows somebody who's been to the Eras Tour.
Yeah, because like, tens of millions of people. And like, and I think the thing that I've realized in the last year especially, you know, Taylor Swift has found issues that she's grown up. Because like Wes said, like she started country and went to pop. That pissed a lot of people off. And she was really easy to tear down. She's had public relationships with people also like to tear down.
Kanye
fiasco.
That was crazy.
That whole fiasco. Yeah. And like, now that she's gotten big, I feel like the populist reaction is to then say, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Because we like to do that as humans. And I think one of the reasons, like you said, Corey, why are we talking about it, is that one of the things we really like to do at Utini with Star Wars was we used to take what we loved about everything and say, like, this is why it's great. And even as things we didn't like, we're like, how can we like it? How can we respect people that do? Yes. And Taylor Swift, I feel like a lot of people, especially on the nerd side of fandom, have decided this is a uber popular woman that I don't really like her songs, not my music. I'm just going to say it's for other people. And maybe listen to the four of us, like, be like, you know what? Even if it's not your vibe, the respect you got to have for the talent is unbelievable, really.
I think that's really what I want to talk about the most, because I think the thing that has kind of shaken me the most about Taylor Swift is how kind of crazy the fandom is, like in a good way. Like it's very intense level of fandom. And I think everybody kind of got a glimpse into that this year, obviously with her and like Travis Kelce. And like there's the whole like
my favorite couple. Movement. I love them so much.
Yeah, this whole movement around the Super Bowl. like people are watching football for the first time. Like we're seeing like
the NFL numbers spiked. NFL.
I'm a fan of Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team. Like,
that's right.
That was like a best-selling t-shirt.
Yes, it was.
And there were like women that were like, when I was 13, I was crying and teardrops on my guitar. And now I know what like offsides is. And I'm angry at a pass interference call in the Super Bowl.
There were Taylor Swift Super Bowl parties specifically.
Yes.
Right? Like that was a whole thing.
And they looked so fun.
Yeah, yes, I'm sure they would.
I would love to go
to
one.
It's cool to see people like have a really big passion for one thing and then it leak over into something else and they pick up a new passion for a new thing. I love
that.
That's really cool. That's
the whole show, dude.
I know.
That's what this is about.
That's what Utini is about now. It's what the show is about. It's like, it's just, it makes you a better human being to connect with other human beings about things that you're interested in.
Yeah. Can I tell you, when I was going through the video research you mentioned, Corey, the thing that amazed me the most, you know, you said the scope and the scale, obviously, unbelievable. Especially now, it seems like there's a million artists, so it's really hard for one artist to really go super high because people are so different in what they want. Mm-hmm. For me, it was the ability that Taylor Swift has had to evolve continuously and still maintain success. Because I think that that's one thing we see a lot in things that we like. Like, let's say you're looking at, you know, a certain author, the way they write. If a certain author is writing a bunch of books, like if Brandon Sanderson decided to all of a sudden write rom-com ice hockey books, I'd be like, you know what, Brando? I'm glad you're happy. I might not read them. I might. They may be cool. But like, that would be really hard. But Taylor Swift went from straight country, straight up barn door sitting on the porch country, to albums like...
Hold on.
No, she talks about it. No. She talks about her
porch. She talks about barn door sitting on the porch?
Yes. Our song is a slamming screen door, sitting out late, rapping on your window. Like, that's a song.
Eric, you're...
That was a nice recovery.
I know you live in the South.
I pay property taxes in North Carolina. Okay.
That country accent, my guy, needs some work.
Listen, buddy. Here we can I do this for the rest of the show?
Oh, please, God. Please stop. Please. Wes is gonna have a stroke.
Can I be your sleep paralysis demon?
His health is already a while, but
I like that. Listen, Wes is already on the brink. Look at his face. Blood pressure's up.
I forget, Wes. I don't mean to startle you too much. I know the war. But oh lord, the vapors.
Wes is painting himself with a cowboy hat.
So she starts at an indeterminate country accent type of music, but then she makes something like 1989, for example, which is
pivot. That was
pop album. Straight up.
I was like a freshman, I think, or a sophomore in college, I think, when that album dropped. And
Shake It Off came on?
Dude, that song was such a bop. Like
such a bop.
It was so played. It was played so much, but weirdly was still not overplayed.
Yes. Every time it came out, I was like, beat. Cut. My best friend.
Like, the music video was phenomenal too. It was so much fun. And it was like, it became a huge thing. There were all those like mixes and shit. You remember that? Like everybody was making their own like music video, walking down the hall, one take. You remember that?
Yep.
That was huge when I was in college. All the sororities did it when I was in college.
Yeah. Like everyone kind of jumps onto them, and like no matter what it's been, she I think it's because she basically commits 100% to each flow. And for me, as a person that is really trying to expand what I love in my life and accept that like I can let these new fandoms into my life, it's like Taylor Swift literally embodies that about being like, I am not ashamed.
Yeah.
She's not ashamed of Debut or Red or Speak Now or the older albums. And she's not ashamed of Folklore, and she's not ashamed of Midnight. She's like, no, these are all who I am, which is why the concert's so cool, that she's like, no, you can be proud of your whole life and still keep evolving.
Also, if you're totally new to Taylor Swift, that is why the concert is called the Eras Tour.
Yes.
Which is a little bit of a, like, it seems so obvious.
Yeah, because everyone's trying to do it now, too.
Yes, I know. But like, as an artist, she genuinely has lived in different eras, and she says... She's very open about it in the theme of the concert. We watched most of it, I think.
It's on Disney Plus.
Yes, on Disney Plus. And like, she's really open about like, these are all different stages of my life, and I grew from this. I'm like, it's like, it hit me in the feels. Like that's like, it's like growing up. It's life.
Yeah,
it's like
she documented it. It's like beautiful.
That's I'm gonna butcher this paraphrase, but it's from Doctor Who, from right before one of the regenerations, and he says something along the line. I think it was Matt Smith. He says something like, it's like basically it's fine to change throughout your life. In fact, it's a good thing as long as you never forget who you used to be.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah.
And I will always remember when the doctor was me.
Yes. Yeah. There you go.
That's dope.
But sorry, my parents are watching Doctor Who together now. So my mom got me into Doctor Who as a kid and we watched it. My dad never did, but now they're retired. So as retirees do, they binge things.
Where'd they start? Eccleston?
Eccleston. Okay. They started at the David Tennant new specials because dad likes David Tennant, and they went back, and now I get to watch my dad watch Doctor Who for the first time. Like, he got to watch me do things, and they're just getting to the end of Matt Smith now. And it's been like, it's a very proud moment of me. Again, I had the era of growing up with Doctor Who, and now I get to watch my dad discover new things as a 70-plus-year-old man. And it's like this joy that I had when I was 16.
That's another huge fandom. I actually don't know hardly anything about Doctor Who.
That's coming, y'all. It's coming.
You definitely got to do that sometime.
We got a guide in being written for the site as we speak.
Yeah, I think it's staged for published right now, actually. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that, at least from, I'm going to say, the outside looking in at the Taylor Swift fandom, at the Swifties, why is it that there's not... some like toxic portion that I'm aware of? Are they all really that nice? And if so, how do we manifest that in other fandoms?
Yeah, seriously.
I think it's a good question. So pure pure opinion, obviously, because everything's opinion. I think that one of the things why the Switchies aren't toxic is because of Taylor's wholehearted acceptance of her own music across time. Because if you're a Swiftie, usually toxicity comes from like, oh, I don't like this part of this fandom, like Star Wars fans, like, right, like this isn't canon, this isn't canon, I don't like this.
Change from what it was, and now it's recognized.
Folklore is not canon.
Yeah. But like, if you don't like an album, I think the great thing is like, well, that's fine, like go listen to Red. Like, they kind of accept that wherever you are in your life, you will be in your Red era, and maybe next year you'll be in your Folklore era, and you will change and adapt. And as a Swiftie, a good Swiftie will meet you where you are and be like, wherever you're excited about in the moment, as far as albums go, like, I'll meet you right there. So maybe it's Taylor leading from the top saying, hey, any part of my discography that you like, I was that person at some point. So yeah. If other fandoms are like,
so can you, like, yeah, you know, she's very open about that with the fandoms and the way that she kind of interacts with them too.
Yeah.
Like it's another weird place that is like, like the fandom has like a leader, and she also talks to them and leads them.
Yeah,
weird way.
Intentionally. Like, yes, she leaves them. She literally leaves them clues to
Wait,
follow.
You're saying the fandom has a leader, or are you talking about her? Yeah, herself?
She is. Oh, the leader.
I thought
of
you were saying
fandom.
That there was a head Swiftie.
Yeah, yeah, head Swiftie.
There probably is. There probably is.
Yeah, there might be.
She dresses like the Pope, actually.
Drives around in a glass box.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and then she goes into the woods, and then when the white smoke comes out, it means a new album's coming on its way.
That's right. That's what happens.
That's for all my Catholics out there.
That's canon.
Didn't we get named eras within our Slack? Didn't that happen? You remember that?
We got named eras.
Each host was like,
"Oh yeah,"
said you are this album, and yeah. Don't know exactly what those mean.
I forgot what they were. So we do in our company Slack. We have a Swift Teeny channel because there was a point where when Midnights came out, like so many people on the team were like, "Oh, by the way, I love Taylor Swift," and we're like, "Oh my god!" Like, we should have a place to talk about that.
Dude, I'm pretty sure what actually happened is that Cantina Talk, which is the main channel we have, probably had like 600 messages.
I tried
like,
to be nice about it.
I was like, guys, we have to like talk about other things here.
Yeah.
Let's create a new channel and everybody can be super jacked.
If anything gets too popular, it gets his own channel.
Yeah, that's a little bit behind the scenes of how our company works is that our main Cantina Talk is just, you can say whatever you want. It's our water cooler. It's how we hang out as a company and make friends. And then if anything becomes, it's like an X amount of days, basically. Like, we now have gaming channel, we have a sports channel, we have a Taylor Swift channel. And yeah, within that channel, then they did go in and assign us each eras. And here we go. Everyone watching, listening at home, Swifties, you guys have seen us for 3 episodes now. What era do you think each host is? But I like that idea that even if you don't know the eras, like, you kind of get a vibe. Because if you're like the country eras, like a debut or a speak now, it is a little more of that younger innocence, a little more raw. And then like, if you're in Lover, you're a little more like love. Like, I'm getting married next year. I'm kind of in Lover. You're going to marry this fall.
It's true.
So are you in your Reputation era?
I don't know what that means, so I'm scared to say yes or no.
Yes.
He is wearing black for our audio listeners. That's what I went with.
I do want to talk about the Swiftini a little bit because Swiftini at our company is like, it's become very representative of a lot of different folks are all in that. And I actually really like that about the Taylor Swift fandom is that it seems to encompass a lot of different kinds of people.
Yes.
And Taylor Swift, I would say, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I would say there was probably a point in time in which it was very like unmasculine, maybe, to like
100%
like super into Taylor's.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that vibe is still there to a degree, as it is with a lot of female artists, but it seems like the tides are kind of turning a little bit.
Yeah, men are less afraid to admit they like stuff. Like in Swiftini, we have like Jared on Legends Look Back. He's in Swiftini. He's phenomenal at getting like the different vinyls, and he listens to each new album with his whole family. Like, they do that as a family activity.
Yeah.
Like, and he's a straight male pastor. Like, and he loves to do that. And we also do have other people on the team of every different background that can kind of enjoy it in different ways. And I think as we've grown up as men that went through high school and college in the 2000s and things like that, the overall culture has shifted, but I think you're right, Corey. Within Taylor Swift as a whole, I think it's gone even a little quicker, maybe. Yeah. Like,
I don't know something about it. Maybe it's just the time in which we live in. I'm not sure why that is the case, but it has become like there's a lot of parallels with like my own experience with like Star Wars. Like, when I grew up, it was like not cool to be a prequel kid. Right? Mm-hmm. You talked about that like on the last episode, right? Like, Taylor Swift is almost like that in a lot of ways, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it wasn't cool at one time to be a Taylor Swift fan, but like now it is.
Yeah.
It's almost uncool not to be a fan.
Yeah.
Way.
It's becoming, it's at the point where like it's so popular, but not, and popular is such a weird word for it because it almost feels like it's lessening it, but like it is so beloved and there's so many facets to it now.
Yes.
That if you say, it's like saying for me, if someone says like, oh, I don't like the Beatles. I'm like, okay. Do you not like Help or Please Please Me, like early Beatles? Like, do you like Sgt. Pepper? Like, there's such a variety of sound that it's like, okay, then you don't have to listen to everything to decide. But saying that I don't like this blanket statement, it's like, I don't like movies. I don't like comic books. I don't like blank because it.
There's a lot of varieties to music. If you say now that like, I don't like Taylor Swift, like you're missing something. There's not variety to the music.
Yeah.
I think like all the eras. No matter whether you're a super fan or you just heard her kind of on the fringe about liking her or not, you can't deny that a lot of her songs are catchy as shit, right? And you like everybody likes them. Like even if you can see the emotions and the actions that it has on people when those songs come on, and you're like, What am I doing here? I mean, this is a damn good song, right? I mean,
and it's storytelling. It's good storytelling. Yeah. There's storytelling in the music. There's storytelling.
Her lyricism is amazing.
Yes, there's storytelling all around it. There's storytelling in the concert. Like, she says a line. I got misty-eyed listening to this. And I was passing through the kitchen or whatever. I wasn't even listening, and Caitlin was watching the Eras Tour. And she says a line. She says something like, you know, you've probably heard a lot of my music over the years. She's about to start singing her early album stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you've heard a lot of my music over the years, and maybe you have some memories associated with this song, but now going forward, the next time you hear this song, I want you to remember being here. Remember being in this country. Remember this experience that you had. I'm just like, dude, that is like heavy. Like, it's mindfulness. It's like living in the moment and acceptance. Yeah. And
like, if you watch the Eras Tour, which, I mean, dude, even just as a movie,
it's
like,
very impressive, frankly.
Yes, it's I can't even start to fathom how they made it, but like there's a moment when she does the 10 minute version of her song All Too Well. This is a song that had history. We talk about it in this week's Utini video a bunch, but she has this moment where that whole song is kind of a relationship ending and her memories of how she felt. Like, she's I'm a crumpled up piece of paper lying here, like I kept you like a secret, or you kept me like a secret, but I kept you like an oath. Like, all these kind of moments, and you see this crowd that is singing this decently new song that is a version of an old song, and they are crying and living on every word. It's just her and a guitar and a camera in a stadium, and it's just like, there's such a shared humanity.
Yeah, in it really is. Mm-hmm. It's depth, it's storytelling, it's shared humanity, it's...
Yeah.
I don't know.
But Corey, do you know what else shares humanity? Our ad for this week, everybody.
Wow, that was pretty smooth. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you, buddy. Tonight, we're going to take a break, everybody, because I want to tell you about the newest addition to the Utini Podcast Network. It's the Utini Baseball Show. That's right. Whether you're a grizzled veteran or a bright-eyed rookie, the Utini Baseball Show is the perfect show for you to experience America's pastime. You can join Anthony, Parker, and Adam every week as they share their love for the game by exploring the history, sharing the stories, and sprinkling in just enough trivia to keep even the most seasoned fan on their toes. The Utini Baseball Show is the most accessible sports podcast you can imagine. Perfect for folks who grew up with the game or have never watched a single pitch in their lives. These fellows will make you fall in love with the old ball and stick. Everybody, the show releases every Friday on your podcast platform of choice. And whether you're a fan of winless teams like Wes or undefeated teams like me, there's something for everybody. Thanks again to the Utini Baseball Show for being a part of the Utini Podcast Network. And now, back to the show.
That was brutal, Wes. You just got attacked.
When I wrote that, the Astros were not 1-4. Yeah. Sorry, Wes.
It's false. It's fake news. They have one win, you jerk. And they're probably on their way to two.
Easy. I'm so worried because we do record these on a slight delay. The Tigers record by the time this comes out, we're undefeated at the moment. And we'll what if you're like 4-6? Like, what if we just go on a tear?
Have you guys listened to the baseball show yet?
Oh yeah,
I did.
Absolutely.
I listened to it twice.
It's you listened to it last? You listened to it.
I did, yes. I was I love their wild pitch segment, and I immediately messaged Parker about his pick, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm like, I agree with you for 2 years of your pick, but not the other years. But I mean, he has a justifiable point, but it's a damn good show. Andrew has, like you said, Andrew has the greatest radio voice.
Anthony
has the greatest radio voice. Yeah. So good. And then
it's wonderful.
Just having a newbie there as their third host. I mean, it's perfect. It's a great show. It's very intriguing.
It's a great vibe. We are experimenting, of course, right? Utini is pivoting. We're talking about other stuff. We're talking about Taylor Swift. We're talking about baseball. Mm. Talking about other fandoms, just kind of like living the human experience. And honestly, huge shout out to the baseball group.
Yeah, I'm so proud of those guys.
It was a great launch. It's a really great show. If you are a fan of baseball, even if you're not a fan of baseball, it has an accessibility like vibe.
It's almost better if you don't know a lot about baseball because I have watched baseball on and off. And after listening to them, I went and watched like the Tigers game that night because it made me interested in it, which I think is the highest compliment we can give them. So
absolutely.
Check them out on the Utini Podcast Network. Again, they're audio only. So every Friday, they're going to release Spotify, Pocket Cast, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. Go show them some love.
I want to talk about the fandom searching for the things, like the clues. I want to talk about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Taylor Swift famously and admittedly now like hides things in videos, tweets, album art, like for her fans to find.
I'm not going to lie. I thought this was not real. I thought there was something that, like, because a lot of people do this with music and artists. And like,
there's a hidden things. Message. Yes, Paul is dead. Paul is dead.
Right. It's like it's a music thing, right? I didn't think this was real, but it's like genuine real. And Taylor has gone on the record multiple times now and says, yes, it is all very planned.
Yep.
And she goes out her way to do this.
Yes. Like years in advance sometimes. Like she has leaked things that are 2 to 3 years down the road.
Right. Do you guys know what we're talking about?
No.
I've like heard of this, but I've never actually known enough to know like, okay, this is what the clue was for all along. Like what's like the craziest thing you can think of that she has somehow left clues for that someone figured out?
Yes. Give us examples.
So this is not the craziest one, but I think it's the one that's the most tangible. That'll be easy to understand.
Okay.
There were some nights in the Eras tour where when she was leading up to announcing Speak Now, Taylor's version, and 1989, Taylor's version, her re-releases of her masters that she's doing for her old albums, her outfit colors based on the night would lead up to the night where she would then announce the album. So people could basically look at her outfit colors that slightly changed hues based on the different nights, check out the secret songs order that she would choose, and in the night of, she would wear a dress, the guitar color would change, and then she'd announce the album because she's basically leading them into saying this is when it's coming. Another very famous example is before her Reputation album, the album that was kind of in response to the stuff with Kanye and all, everyone kind of getting all down on her and her saying, like, I'm totally changing my vibe. There was this thing with Snakes.
Reputation really fast. The album is very aggressive. It's kind of angry. Yeah. It was after the whole incident happened with, I'm not sure if you guys remember this, with like Kanye and Kim Kardashian. There was a phone call. You remember Kanye recorded that song, Famous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, whatever that kind of rough line about Taylor was.
Yep.
And like he said, we got permission. The Taylor Swift crew said, no, you didn't get permission. Yep. And Kim Kardashian released an edited phone call.
Yeah. Yes. And Kim's like, she's a snake. She's trying to do all this stuff.
Yes.
So Taylor took that and started doing snake emojis, things in there, and started doing like little hidden snakes.
A year later. Yes.
Yeah. And then the snake became like in her music videos that came up. So that told people there was a new album coming. This was the motif.
Yes.
So she built it up.
Aggressive. It's Reputation. Yeah. It's like, I care about my reputation now. Like,
yeah, I'm reclaiming myself.
Yeah. So it was violent and aggressive. So like there were clues of what the theme and the feeling of the music was going to be leading up to it. And like the level, like these are all like crazy surface level, like the level of depth that she's done with some of this music is literally insane. If you get online and like get on YouTube and look up like Taylor Swift, like fan theories,
it's incredible.
Insane. Yeah. I watched like a 10-minute TikTok a while back that was like, it was a whole series. It was a whole bunch of different TikToks. I'm like, this leads to this, leads to this, leads to this. And that means that this album is going to be this. It was just like, how is this even possible to keep this straight?
Can you imagine putting out a piece of content like this, and we actually produce content like pretty regularly. Can you imagine doing that and taking the time to put in little clues to something that only you know? You would spend so much time on that, and no one would care enough to try to decode it.
Yeah,
and people are probably seeing things like that she didn't plan to mean.
That's part of that's it, the right? coolest thing too. That I one of the funnest things. And speaking to your point earlier, Charles, about why is this fandom not toxic? Like, what is missing? Most fans are wrong. Most fandoms, like Reputation, Taylor's version, as of recording, has not been announced yet. For the last 6 to 8 months, people have been like, tonight's the night, tonight's the night, tonight's the night.
Yes.
And they have found it. But every single time you're wrong about a Taylor Swift theory, there's never like, oh, you suck, you lost. It's like, okay, I missed something. Back into it. Like, it is a constant vibe of, well, we're going to get there. We're going to figure it out. And, you know, and she went on, I believe it was Jimmy Kimmel. She talked about this. I found a clip back, like, right after COVID. And she said, back in the day, I used to love looking at, like, the lyric booklets. And so early in the day, she would, like, capitalize random words in the lyrics and they would spell out a word. Like, it used to be that simple where she would do stuff like that. And then it just kind of kept going and going and going. And the fans, I think, now just, they get excited because I think there are so few times that we see celebrities genuinely reach across to speak to us. Yeah, there's Twitter. Yeah, there's interviews. But, like, to in your art, say, hey, person who's consuming it, this is for you. Like, find it from Taylor. Yeah. You know,
it's also cool that it's like the more involved you are, the more they'll be there for you. Yeah. If that makes sense. So, like, the more surface level you are, that's fine, and you can still enjoy the songs. But, like, if you're reading the lyric booklets and, like, circling letters and like that kind of, like, there's something there for you. That's kind
of it like adds a level of, like, of depth to a music fandom that is really interesting and unique. I think like. With us, with Star Wars books, for example, that's like our hyper niche fandom.
Right? Yeah.
Like with Star Wars books, you're like, you know, like, why did, like, how is the Emperor alive? Right. Like, and there's all this, like, well, in this comic, it shows this, and this book, like, this is like that equivalent for music for a different fandom.
Yeah.
So, like, it creates this kind of like participation with the fandom, with the fans.
Yeah.
It's like more than just, I'm listening to the music. I like it. It makes me feel good. It's more than that. It's like,
yeah,
it's like some depth, and I don't know, just like it's fun to theorize what the next Marvel movie villain is going to be.
Yeah,
it's like
you can see the clues that she puts in, and it goes beyond that into like the lyrics and music too. Like I hear people, like I listen to Folklore, I'm like, that's a pretty good album, and I hear other people are like, did you see the story within the songs of like Betty is this person, and then she's actually in a relationship with someone in a couple songs later, and then I'm like, I didn't. But
that's fun.
Thank you for exactly. And they're never like, oh, you idiot, you didn't find that. It's like, go listen again. Go check it out.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's always an exuberance to go check it out.
That's kind of cool too, because I will say that hearing you talk about like the different albums, how many people do you hear nowadays talking about albums? Right.
No, and, right.
What I mean by that is it's a single or it's the best song that made it on the radio from this or that. I mean, how many times have you just listened to an album front to back in the past 10 years? Like very rarely. Right. But if there's something to it, if there's an experience to it, it's going to make you more likely to do that.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you guys that. I mean, I think you may have seen, but back when Midnights came out, Taylor Swift's most recent, her Grammy record breaking album, when that came out, I never knew this before. I stayed up to midnight. Saw Spotify crash, as it did. And then when it came live, I actually sat before Swiftini was a thing with other people in Utini Cantina and just listened to the whole album straight at midnight to 1 a.m. and talk with them. And I'd never done that with an album in 30 years. I never thought to do that. But it felt like this is like a opening night.
It's a moment. You're like, it's like you're participating. There's something about, I think, like being part of a live moment. I think sports captures this pretty well.
It's the best, yeah.
I think that music captures this pretty well.
Yep.
Like it's like watching the riots on Capitol Hill on January
6th. Where
like
were you?
Yeah, it's just like where were you in 9/11? Like it's like you're like living in a moment in history. And like there's something interesting in human, I think, about doing that with other fans, especially passionate people who are genuinely welcoming and nice and kind and like it's fun and it makes life worth living.
Yeah.
Like it's just so much more, it's so much deeper than.
Yeah. And I think she's one of those people too. This is now starting to get to me lately. The more, again, we thought a lot about Taylor Swift because of the content, and it's allowed me to really look at a lot of different pieces of her and her fans. I admire Swifties so much because they are so completely open about the fact that they're Swifties. That, like, if they hear a song and they want to cry, they will burst into tears next to a stranger. And they will feel that entire moment and go home and remember that. And I feel like there is still part of me, and it might be a masculine thing, it might be because of the era we grew up in, whatever, where there's, like, even if I'm feeling something, like, if I'm watching, you know, when Rey got the lightsaber in Force Awakens opening night, I got chills, but there was still part of me that was like, okay, but the other people are like, be cool, be cool. Like, there's still a little bit of hesitancy of like, don't show it open, which is our whole Youtini mission is we want you to feel what you feel. It's so much better to feel that. But Swifties, it's never a thought. It's like, this song is my identity. This song saved my life. This moment that I want this to be my whole personhood. This concert is my year. Like, there is such a, I am in 100%. And Taylor's like, cool, me too. Like, I will be there with you.
It's cool. I think it's cool. It's cool. Cool as in the traditional sense of the word cool. Like, it is cool to be really jacked up about something with other people who don't make you feel bad about that experience.
Yeah.
Regardless what your fandom is. And I think the Swiftie fandom captures that perfectly. Like, come as you are. We're going to accept you how you are. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to be that way together.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice way to live, you know? I think and that's what's so fun about this kind of new look that we're having, and why I like talking to you guys about this stuff is because there are things that we know about and we can talk about, you know, a million times a day and be like, yeah, I'm not going to, maybe I won't learn anything else, but it's fun. It's pretty usual. But when I look at other fandoms like this, when I look at Swifties, when I look at other people's passions, often the question of why they're so passionate about this, it's like, just because they want to be. Because they want to love this thing. And it shouldn't be complicated, but it is somehow always revolutionary.
Yeah, it really is. There's so many fandoms out there. I mean, the crossover between Taylor Swift and football this past year has really been an eye-opening experience.
It's so good.
Like, it really
it's so
has
good.
Been an eye-opening experience that, like...
Karma is the fact... Okay, hold on. The fact that in the Eras Tour... In the Eras Tour, the last song she sings is Karma. It's wonderful. It's a great song. It's high energy. There's a song that says, I don't even remember the original lyric now because she changed it in the Eras Tour to say, Karma is the guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me. She did that while Travis Kelce was in the arena one day. All her dancers didn't know about it, freaked out. That went on TikTok. It went everywhere. So everyone around the world got to see Taylor Swift change the songs to reflect her current relationship. And now that's part of the Eras Tour mythology. And now that's in the show. Like, that is something that happened in real time. Also, I can imagine being Travis Kelce, who admittedly he had a crush on Taylor Swift earlier in his life, seeing her in a show full of millions of people and hear her say your name for her finale. And now that's part of our culture, is like, people are saying Karma is the guy on the Chiefs. People know what that means. Like, my future mother-in-law texts me about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Like,
yes, that's nuts. It's just, it seems like everybody knows about this celebrity relationship. It's just, I don't know. It's wild. It's a wild part of our culture. It really is.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm glad it exists. You know, I think I'm glad that all the people who didn't think it was so cool when we were younger and just listened to these songs on the radio and kind of ignored them or tried to be like, you got to listen to this or whatever, kind of got shushed away. And now it becomes something that you can't ignore. And even if you don't like, it's so easy to respect because it's literally changing the face of music.
You know, there's a song...
By Taylor Swift.
Song. There is. Actually, you know what? It actually is.
Maybe it might be Creed.
Does it say, can you take me higher? No? Okay, go on.
There's a song on one of her early country albums that starts. I'm gonna read you something. I'm gonna name
Sing
some
it.
Do it with the accent or don't do it at all.
The barn door porch accent.
She says, Corey's eyes are like the jungle. When he smiles, it's like the radio. That's the only lyrics.
Is that a real thing?
She actually said Corey.
Are you in a Taylor Swift song?
I am a Taylor Swift song. It's an early song. I have no idea what it was called. I cannot remember. But it's from...
can't wait for all the comments saying it definitely doesn't say Corey.
It says Corey. I swear to God, it says Corey. I'm going to look it up.
You need to...
I'm looking at it right now.
Real time.
You're in a Taylor Swift song.
All right, I'm going to read it. Yeah.
How is Corey spelled?
I don't know. Corey's eyes are like the jungle. When he smiles, it's like the radio. That was for Siri, just to be clear.
That was voice dictation.
Written by Corey Elton.
Also, that definitely didn't work at all.
That definitely didn't work at all.
It found nothing. That's so strange. That's another.
It's definitely in a very famous
song. No, it didn't work. It's called Stay Beautiful.
Stay Beautiful.
Yes, it's from the Blue album. Which one is that one?
Debut. It's just called Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes, it is. Taylor Swift. It says, Corey's eyes are like a jungle. When he smiles, it's like the radio. He whispers songs into my windows in words that nobody knows.
But it's not spelled the way you spell your name, Corey.
No, how shut is it up, spelled? Willis.
It might be about Corey, though, because he's constantly saying stuff, and I don't know what it means.
This makes a lot of sense why you have Stay Beautiful tattooed on your butt.
Makes a lot of sense. Oh, I'm going to say goodbye to you for the rest of our lives.
How's it spelled,
Stay
Corey?
Beautiful.
How's it spelled?
It's R-Y, all right? But it's still...
But it's C. It's C, though, not a K.
It's C. Yeah, why? What kind of crazy person spells Corey with a K?
I was in a D&D group with a guy that spelled Corey with a K.
We just lost 3 more viewers.
3 of you, Corey. Listen, sorry, UK Corey.
You want to lose some more? I got an analogy for you. So we were talking about this whole Taylor Swift thing. And yes, she's transcends and all that other stuff, but the bankroll that she pulls in must be massive, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh,
dude, as I'm sheer just power. Thinking about, like, how much, like, the ticket sales and the touring and the albums and everything. Have you ever seen a show, it used to be on Adult Swim and Cartoon Network, called Metalocalypse?
Yes, okay. I did.
Awaken.
Oh, no. Metalocalypse is a cartoon about a death metal group.
And Wes, I had those episodes loaded onto my Zune in high school to let you know how I watched Metalocalypse.
It came on from, like, I'd say, like, mid-2000, 2005, 2006, so, like, 2015 or something like that. They were so popular that they were the 8th largest economy in the world. And the Illuminati that would oversee everything that went on would say that we have to keep them whole. We have to make sure people are happy with them or the economy will crumble. The world economy will crumble. So that's analogy wise. I think this is more like Taylor Swift. Like she is like the 6th or 7th largest economy in the world, more than like some small countries. And
it's funny you say that, Wes, because literally this is not a bit. Last year, every single economist, basically the United States, said we were heading for a recession. They're like, we are heading for a recession. I don't know if y'all remember hearing about
this. Taylor Swift, she tweeted, she said, nope.
Well, the Eras Tour brought, like, it is, we've talked about this with, like, the Phantom Menace tickets back in the day. Like, she stimulated the economy between hotels, travel, tickets, merch, local business, like, stimulated various economies in the United States. And we didn't have a recession. It did not happen.
It's Taylor's doing is what we're trying
to say.
It's
either that or she's like the second coming of J.P. Morgan and she just gave money to the U.S. government and bailed them out of the...
Either way, my mortgage rate is still the same. So
there is a lot of talk about Taylor Swift telling people to get out and vote and stuff, too, which is very interesting.
It was very controversial, but earlier in her career, she really avoided that. And there was a documentary that she did where she got very into her local politics because there was someone that was very like... anti-women's rights and anti-gay rights, and she was like, her team was kind of telling her, like,
an emotional clip. Her dad is kind of a
It was like, don't say anything. She's like, I don't care. This is what I feel about. And
what about the image? What about your image? And she's like, screw that. I want to be myself. And then she released 1989 and changed everything.
So. Yep, it's cool. It is nice to see someone with that much power that earnestly seems to want to talk to her fans, empower her fans, and. Everyone that talks about Taylor Swift on an intense Swiftie level, as we begin to wrap up here, I love the thought that most people, when they talk about the relationship to Taylor Swift in an intense way, are like, she made my life better by X, or I learned this about myself because of this song, or I listened to her lyrics and found the strength within to leave this bad situation or something like that. Like, it always seems to be a message of self-empowerment, even though she got crap early on from people that were like, oh, it's breakup songs, but oh, she's going to write a song about you, like... It is actually so much deeper and about becoming a better version of who you are, you know? And, like, she has a song on Midnight. It's called You're On Your Own, Kid, which is where the friendship bracelets come from. She's like, made the friendship bracelets, taste the moment and or something like that. And it's all about her telling the fans, like, you're on your own. You always have been, but you're going to be fine. So make your friendship bracelets, enjoy the moments, and just ride the wave. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of nice to be like, that's kind of for us 20, 30-year-olds. Of like that have been through it. It's like, listen, you've been through it. It's still okay to make a friendship bracelet. It's still okay to enjoy these moments in the stadiums with each other. And I love that is the message being sent through this fandom.
I like that. You know, we didn't talk about the private jet.
She buys climate environment credits.
Everyone wants to talk about the private jet. Yeah. There's going to be YouTube comments probably talking about the private jet.
Tell us that. As long as you list all the men that are above her on that list that never get talked about in those news articles, I'd be happy to do that. I'm sure that has nothing to do with it. I will come right at you.
She's still rich.
She is, yeah. God, I want to be rich. If you want to help me become like Taylor Swift, make sure you like and comment. but truly, everybody, this has been a really fun little diatribe for us. This is a new thing for us. And whether you're listening to us on your podcast catcher or watching us on the YouTube video, thank you. You're three episodes in. Two is a pattern. Two is a coincidence. Three is a pattern. So you're in it now, everybody.
We're still going to talk about Star Wars. Don't worry.
We're coming, baby. We did last week talk about the prequels. Next week, we want to let you know we're going to be talking about all these new hobbies we have and how in the world is it easier to get into new hobbies as you get older. We'll talk about that next week. For right now, thank you all so much for tuning in. Again, go check out the Uccini Baseball Show and everything else that we have on the Uccini Podcast Network and on this channel. Hit that like button, subscribe, leave a comment on the eras that we're in, and always remember, socks or shoes. We'll see you next week. May the force be with you.